Well, Happy New Year. Can you say that? It didn't sound like you meant it. It's a new year, 2006. We're beginning with a three-part sermon series, which means that you need to be here every week, or I have to preach for 60 minutes today, one of the two. So 3 weeks we're going to be talking about not just a new identity, but really the same identity that we have as baptized children of God. So I want to tell you a little story. I was in the movie theater. I don't remember. Oh, it wasn't recent, maybe several years ago, maybe right after COVID, and we were going back to the theater, and we were there. I don't remember the movie, but there was a, maybe 10, 11, 12-year-old kid. He had come in, you know, when the lights go down and they have all the different previews of other movies, and the kid was carrying a whole bunch of food, popcorn, Cokes, candy, and it was dark, so he was walking up and down the aisle. And I don't usually pay much attention, but he went up and then he went down, and he went up and then he went down, he went up and then he went down. And then he just kind of stopped and he said, "Does anybody here recognize me?" I mean, it's a horrible feeling when you're lost, isn't it? Any place. And that's the thing that we want to talk about this morning. It's horrible to not belong. It's horrible to not know where you belong. It's horrible to not know who you are. God has wired us for belonging. He created us to be in community. That's why we join stuff. Clubs, organizations, the Lions Club, the Chamber of Commerce. It's why we root for the sports teams that we love. It's why some of you are wearing jerseys this morning. And others of us are not. Well, first of all, you wouldn't see it anyways under here, but my team, I'm not proud of anymore. I don't want to belong with them anymore. The Chiefs are sunk. Maybe those other teams will do a little better that you're wearing. It's why you join the PDA. It's even why a lot of us join a church. Because we need to belong to a community. God created us this way in the very beginning. You remember Adam and Eve? God said to Adam, "It's not good for the man, it's not good for anyone to be alone." And so he made Eve, he created them together so they would be there to care for each other, to nurture each other, to support one another, even Jesus. Now we think of Jesus, of course, he's God, but he's also human. And he needed support as well. And so one of the very first things that he did when he began his ministry is he gathered around him this circle of support, his disciples. Now in the beginning, before they were all trained, he said, "I call you servants." But just before he ascended into heaven, their relationship had changed. Jesus even leaned on them. He had sent them out two by two. They reported back. Later, they would become the early leaders of the Christian church. They were now his friends. And of course, we as disciples, just like the early disciples, we need assurance and a sense of belonging. Jesus had been with them for 3 years. They were the closest of friends. And Jesus assured them before he went into heaven that he wouldn't leave them behind as orphans. He promised, "I'm going to come back." And of course, he also meant that he would be sending the Holy Spirit. So, God created us to be in a community. And we're in a special community here in the church. But he also believes that we have value. That every one of us has worth. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm a big fan of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Now, they've been around for a long time. I don't know how many volumes there are, and there's all kinds of offshoots. But I remember one particular story. It's just called Chuck. And it's written by a lady named Petey Parker. And it kind of goes like this. Petey Parker was at the grocery store, and she admits that she does not like to go grocery shopping. To which I can say amen to that, which is why I don't do it. And she was in line. And this is one of the reasons I do not like grocery shopping, because she was in the wrong line. Do you ever get in the wrong line? I mean, no matter what line I'm in, I'm always in the wrong line. How does that work, right? It's the one that's long. It's the one that's not moving. And people, you know how they get? They get a little hangry. They were mumbling and they were grumbling about what's taking so long, what's wrong with the cashier and all this. Well, then she discovered why. It was Chuck the Sacker, not Chuck the Slacker. Chuck the Sacker talks to every single item before he puts it in the sack. So he says, hey, Mr. Cake Mix, you are going to become someone's beautiful and special birthday cake. Or, hello, Mrs. Wonder Bread. You are going to build bodies in 12 different ways. And then he would say to every customer as he sacked their grocery items, your family must love you because you take such good care of them. And so Petey Parker, she remarks, well, I just shut up and waited in line. Well, Chuck not only sacks the grocery, but he takes them out to the car. And so he carries these groceries out, and Petey Parker is very thankful, so she tips him $2 whole. Chuck looks at the money, and he looks at her, and then he says, and he shouts, look at me, someone thinks that I am worth $2 whole. But he meant it. He was grateful. And then he danced all the way back to the store. The next week, Petey Parker was back at the grocery store, and one of the employees kind of remembered the whole incident, and he said, thank you. We all know that Chuck has value, but Chuck needs to know that he has value. And that's really our point for this morning. You need to know that you have value, that God loves you. You are a baptized child of God. You know, all of us should be jumping up and shouting, look at me, God believes that I have value so that he would literally shed his blood for me. God believes that I have value so much that he would die on the cross for me. Now, you're probably not going to be dancing on your way back from communion, but you could, because you have value. You see, God believes that every single one of you has value, that you have worth. The problem with us in the church is that too many of us, even though we are the children of God, too many of us, too many of God's people, have lost their identity. We look to value in so many other places. Too many of God's people, they base their value and their worth and their identity on what they have accomplished, or what they have accumulated, or on what the world says. And so if the world says you're not enough, if the world says you haven't done enough, if the world says you haven't accumulated enough, too many of us believe then that we do not have value. Another little story. Those of you who are in Sunday school, who have worked in Sunday school as teachers or as a superintendent, can relate to this. It was on the first day of Sunday school in the fall, and the kids were all lining up, and they were registering for Sunday school. And there were two little boys, and they were about the same age, and they belonged to the same family. And the superintendent really didn't know too much about them. And so she asked, you know, what are your names, and how old are you, and what are your birthdays? And so they identified themselves, and the one little boy, the bolder of the two, he said, we're both seven. I was born on April 8th, and my brother was born on April the 20th. And the superintendent looked a little confused, and she goes, well, that's impossible. If you're both seven and you're born 2 weeks apart. And then the quieter one, he said, well, that's because one of us is adopted. Oh, the superintendent says. Before she realized what she was asking, she goes, so which one? And then the bolder one, he said, well, you know, Dad told us a long time ago that he loves both of us, and he can't really remember which one was adopted. Another cute little story. This comes from a man by the name of Mike Cope. He wrote a really wonderful book called One Holy Hunger. You should look it up. One Holy Hunger. He was talking about his second grader, and I remember this very well. Those of you that have children here at Emmanuel, maybe in other schools they do this as well, but it's around second grade where you have this assignment. And you're supposed to do a little essay and write the things that identify who you are. Now, in the book, Mike talks about his second grade son. He was supposed to write three things. And so his son writes, I'm in second grade, I like baseball, and I am a cool dude. I don't know, I think my kids read that book because they wrote exactly the same thing. Now, here's the thing about second graders. They don't spell all that well. Did you know that? So Mike noticed that they had all written, I am a cool dude, but because they weren't great spellers, some said, I'm a cool dud. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And the voice from heaven says, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And Matthew goes on to tell us that this fulfills all righteousness. Jesus, of course, is the Son of God. He is perfect and he is holy. He does not need to be baptized, and yet he is, so that we might receive righteousness. Paul writes this, for God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Certainly when the Heavenly Father looks at Jesus Christ, he could say, this is one cool dude. He's the Son of God. He is without sin. He is filled with righteousness. And yet, through our baptism, as reclaimed children of God, that righteousness is credited to us as well. We have value because we are the reclaimed children of God. And not just children, but heirs. Again, as Paul writes, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. My friends, you are co-heirs with Christ. And because you are heirs, you are part of God's family, which means that you have equal access to the Father. Just as in that cute little story where the dad doesn't recognize the difference between his biological child and his adopted child. When God looks at you, he also makes no distinction between the child that is begotten, Jesus Christ, and we who are adopted, who have been reclaimed as God's children. And so we can go to the Father with every hurt, with every problem, with every question, with every need, with every desire, with every joy that we have in this life. Not only heirs, but co-heirs. What a great word that is. Co-heirs with Christ, which means we share in his inheritance. And what has Jesus inherited? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And all of that belongs to us as well. You know, the wonderful thing about an inheritance is you don't need to do anything to get it. In fact, most of us, me included, don't deserve an inheritance. And yet our parents have given it to us anyway. With God, he wrote in his will, the book of life, your name, even before you were born. And so everything that Jesus inherits as a son or a daughter of God, as a brother and sister of Christ, it is yours as well. Which means that we can claim all of God's promises. Every single one of them. Now, I've listed just a few in your bulletin. We're going to say these all together. If you would either look on the screen or pick up your bulletin. All of them. We're going to do them all together. All right, are you ready? You have to be awake for this part, by the way. So here we go. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will not leave you orphaned. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. This is what God, our Heavenly Father, has promised. We are his children. We are a part of his family. And you know what families do? You know what parents do when their babies are little? You've probably all done this. When your baby was little and you were holding on to him or her and you were rocking them, you probably whispered in that baby's ear all the dreams. All the dreams that you have for their life and all the possibilities of who and what they might become. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. He has whispered in our ear who we are. We are the children of God, and what we might become, we have inherited the kingdom of heaven. And yet, I would not be surprised if you or your children, as they grew up, sometimes forgot those promises. Sometimes we wander like that young man that I described at the beginning, in the darkness of the world, and we feel like we're lost, or we don't belong. And we wonder who we are. We may even shout out, does anybody recognize me? That's when our Lord stands up and he raises his hand. And he says, yes, you belong to me. You are a redeemed child of God. You have been reclaimed through your baptism. And if you ever forget who you are, pick up your baptism certificate or find a little water and make that sign of the cross on your forehead, and you will know exactly who you are. Amen.